Let's get things underway by talking some college football in the FCS ranks as we're joined by our friend Brian McLaughlin of Hero Sports. Brian, good afternoon.
Hey, Rich. How you doing?
Doing very good. How did you survive Dorian?
Well, Dorian stayed far away from the west coast of Florida, so we didn't even, as bad as that storm is and as bad as it looked last time we talked, it didn't do anything to the Tampa Bay area, but the east coast got it pretty hard. My old home in Daytona Beach got it pretty rough. They're all out of power and all that, but nothing like what the Bahamas got.
No, that's for sure. Well, we're glad you made it through, okay? It's a big weekend of college football. Before we talk about that, let's go back and revisit a little bit of last week. And is it safe to say that at least two of the most impressive performances by FCS teams last week came in losses? I was thoroughly impressed by both South Dakota State and James Madison.
Yeah. And I think you could throw Northern Iowa's overtime.
Yes.
Iowa State. You know, because Iowa State was ranked, 13th coming into that. And that was, I mean, you and I nearly won that game. Indiana State gave Kansas fits. I mean, it seemed like to us that the Big 12 was flirting with disaster by the FCS teams this past week. Because the only one I think that did really well was Kansas State, knocking nickels around. But we think that's because Kansas State hired North Dakota State's head coach, and he knows better, you know, because they thumped Nichols, and Nichols is pretty good. But no, there were a bunch of good ones where P5 teams nearly went down. But ultimately, we only had one FCS win over an FBS, and that was Central Arkansas knocking off Western Kentucky, which when you get into matchups like that, it doesn't look as powerful as, one of the FCS teams knocking off a Big Ten. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There were some good ones.
I always think the first week shakes some things loose, too. It's so hard to put together, as you know, a preseason poll because so much of it is heavily weighted toward what teams did in the previous season. And just a week plus in, and it's clear that some teams, like Colgate, maybe didn't belong as high as they were in the preseason polls.
Yeah, I don't want to get all negative, but the polls are kind of, they're rough at this point. And they need to shake, just like the teams need to shake out the cobwebs, like you said, the pollsters need to do it too. Colgate lost pretty much everything from last year's awesome team, and you can kind of see it coming. There's a couple other schools that I think we may see it down the line too, that are probably ranked a little too high, but that's the glory of preseason polls in the early season, isn't it?
Absolutely. And some ways the more things change, the more they stay the same. New coach, a lot of new players, same result for North Dakota State.
Yeah. They were playing a Pioneer League team, Butler, who obviously it's non-scholarship, but then again, last year Butler beat Youngstown State.
Right.
So, you kind of look at that and you go, Butler's a pretty good little program if they can handle Youngstown like that. So, but NDSU looked really good. The quarterback question, I think is fully answered, really. Trey Lance is very talented, and I think he looked really, really good, and that'll only get better for them. And he has a long time to go in his career. He's going to be around a while. So, could he be the next Easton Stick and then maybe get drafted? Well, I guess we'll see. Could he be the next Carson Wentz? I guess we'll see. But that was a good start by the Bison.
We're talking with Brian McLaughlin of Hero Sports here on Downtown. Let's talk about some of the games coming up this weekend, and let's start with a big one involving one of our CAA teams, Elon taking on, and for Kevin Marshall's sake, we'll call it the Citadel to make sure he hears that.
I hear you. Hey, Kevin. Kevin has reminded me of that, too. Elon, I think, has its back against the wall with this one. It kind of needs to happen for them because, as you know, Rich, with the gauntlet that we have in the CAA, you need to win some of your non-conference games. And the Citadel is not going to be easy. They gave Towson fits, and Towson's pretty good. So, you know, I feel like this is a must-win for Elon to maybe be in the playoff discussion in November. You don't want to start 0-2, you know, with a CAA slate ahead of you in a couple of weeks. So it's a big one for Elon.
Another team that might be in must-win territory already, Jacksonville State, playing host to Chattanooga this weekend.
No question. Yeah, Jacksonville State, that was a head-scratcher. I still don't really get it. But the one thing for the Gamecocks, who, you know, Maine fans know well because of the playoffs last year, the one thing they do have going for them that could pull them out of the rut that they got themselves into last weekend is they have three straight home games against good FCS opponents. It's not like they scheduled a D2. It's not like they scheduled Clemson, you know, where you're really not going to learn anything because Clemson's going to hammer them and nobody would be shocked. And Jacksonville State's going to hammer a D2. Nobody would be shocked. They have three really good tests coming up, starting this weekend with Chattanooga, which is a ranked team out of the SoCon. They play Eastern Washington, last year's national runner-up, but they play them at home in Alabama. And then they play North Alabama, which looks like, you know, they had a nice weekend beating the Missouri Valley teams. You've got three really good teams. So Jacksonville goes 3-0 at home the next couple weeks. Nobody's going to be talking about that loss last weekend, even though it was a big upset. So, but you're right. I just don't think that they can drop this Chattanooga game. I mean, from the standpoint of national, you know, spotlight and perspective, how people will look at them if that happens, it could doom them come playoff time.
Big game this week, maybe one of the marquee games of the week in FCS football, a couple top 20 teams, Southwest Missouri at Montana State.
Yeah, good old SEMO. You know, SEMO was kind of one of the darlings of the playoffs last year. Nobody really expected them to make it out of the OVC into the playoffs, and they ended up winning 8 games. They won a playoff game by beating Stony Brook out of the CAA. You know, that was impressive. SEMO lost a lot of guys on offense, but they retained their quarterback, and their defense is sick. I mean, they're really good on defense. So that's, you know, SEMO's got to go to Bozeman, Montana, which is, that's a unique matchup right there, and play another playoff team from last year who we are wondering about. So, that's one of the best ones this week, and we'll learn a lot about them both because they're both, you know, really had, last week didn't necessarily have as challenging, or it didn't tell us a whole lot about them, I don't think. I think this week it will.
An in-state battle out in Fargo, North Dakota State playing host to North Dakota. That's a bit of a challenge for North Dakota.
Yeah. And boy, do they hate each other.
Good.
They hate each other. And it's funny because, you know, North Dakota State should romp in this. I mean, there shouldn't be really any question to it, but no love lost. It reminds me of Montana State, Montana. It's the same type of game. And, you know, it's good to see that one getting back to being an annual affair now that, you know, North Dakota's moving back to the Missouri Valley. But it really shouldn't be close. I wouldn't think it would be.
Finally, our Maine Black Bears, very impressive in the opening game against Sacred Heart last week, but lost their best defensive player for the season, Deshaun Stevens, going down with a ruptured Achilles. Now they travel down to Georgia to take on an FBS opponent in Georgia Southern. Can the Black Bears be giant killers for the second year in a row?
Yeah, I think they can. And I hate what happened to Deshaun. Obviously he was a big leader in what they did last year, you know, led him in tackles and certainly is a tackle for loss machine. But the thing, you know, people have been asking about that injury all week when we've gone on shows and podcasts. And the thing is, Maine's defense, to me, the collective is just so strong that I'm not saying they can replace a guy like Deshaun, but I think the collective can kind of shift, you know, and fill that void. I really think they can. It's, you know, Lowe stepping in for him. Lowe's a pretty good player, too, you know, and I think that's, you know, when you look at that move, you go, well, I mean, he had a pretty good year last year, too. So Georgia Southern is one of the worst teams, if you believe in rankings, in the FBS. And, you know, we all know that 2 years ago, New Hampshire went down there and knocked them off. You know, I think it's an opportunity for Maine. I mean, Ferguson looked so good last week. You know, everybody loves to talk about Maine's defense, but the offense looked really good. And Emmanuel Reed looks like he's going to fill that void really, really well. And, you know, I think Georgia Southern's going to get all they want this weekend, and they may fall to Maine.
Well, we sure hope so. We're headed down there tomorrow morning. Going to be fun. Brian, we appreciate it. Great to get your insight. As always, check out the podcast as well from Hero Sports. Have a great weekend of football, and we'll talk with you again next Thursday.
All right, Rich, thanks for the time. You guys have a good weekend.
Thank you very much. Brian McLaughlin, Hero Sports. Check out their FCS football coverage. It is top-notch stuff.